The primary duty of a pastor is not to say kwele kwele when you are sick. It's to teach you the word of God. That's why the Bible... No, read it now. I'm one of those that believe in four ministries. I don't believe in five. Go and read it. He said they are apostles, they are prophets. Okay, let me give you literally. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers. He didn't say some as pastors and some as teachers. There's a reason why he didn't say that. Yes, he said he gave some as pastors and teachers. That is, the last one is one. The pastor is the teacher. And Jeremiah said it, I will give you pastors after my heart who will feed you with knowledge and with understanding. So it's more of an apostolic calling to start an assembly. And that's why you see that most churches you read in the Bible were started by Paul. And he write to them, Paul, an apostle, when he's writing to them. And people like Timothy operated with the apostolic calling that Paul also impacted on them. So go and represent me there. Titus, handle that matter for me. But the emphasis I want to bring out is that in the church is every ministry. Priscilla, Aquila, they are there. Teachers of the word. In that church, and you must understand, ministry is beyond preaching. Preachers prepare churches and Christians for ministry. Owning an establishment like this for us Christians is a ministry. Many of our ministries were given to Dangote to do. Yeah. If I say something, it's surprising. But some people have given offerings that God will be angry with. God gives you, I've given you this 10 million. Go and start a cassava processing factory. Then somebody preaches to him, he gives us an offering. God is angry with the giver, he's angry with the receiver. He said, if you had just started that factory, in 15 years, you'll have been a billionaire. You'll have been giving this 10 million every week. Now you have given it. Now there's no cassava factory. You are poor. The pastor is poor. Everybody is poor. And I wonder why he didn't reward you. You should know there's what is called seed for the sower and bread for food. You've taken my bread for food and given a seed. What is your problem? Money is not about giving. It's about appropriate apportioning. Anyway, honestly, there's all kinds of ministries. To start good schools for people to go to is a ministry. To enter into politics and be a good counselor, a senator, governor, president is a ministry. All of us come together and we're a church. What I'm going to say, whether you start a church or not, you can do your ministry. That's my emphasis. You can be in a church. I went to my friend's church one day, where he's a pastor in the north. And he was introducing me to members of the church. He said, this is so-and-so person. He runs so-and-so ministry. So-and-so person, he has this ministry. It was later on I understood that they were members of the church. I said, you introduce them as ministry. They said, yes, they have their own ministry. Yes, they are just members of this church. Oh, the other day I was introducing, because we have a church walk we are doing in Makurdi. I was introducing people to this thing. And I noticed by the time I finished introducing everybody, I asked them to say about everybody. I said, I'm the one here. I'm like the senior pastor there now, you know. I said, I run a ministry in Enugu. I am the pastor teacher of Kingdom Word Ministries. It's a teaching ministry, it's not a church. The next guy, I said, this is my brother. We call him the apostle. I said, Pastor Okemote Udu. He runs a ministry called Truth Outreach. But he's my ministerial deputy. If I don't get to Enugu today, he'll be the one to preach. But he has his own ministry called Truth Outreach. He's on radio. He honors invitations. He goes to different places. Then the brother who took announcements, who introduced the whole meeting, I said, oh, he used to work with me when he was a student. He would he would have been the one to drive me down. We used to go to do programs together. And shortly after I graduated, when he was in law school, we used to go everywhere together. I said, but now he's a practicing lawyer, he's a politician, and a university lecturer. That's his ministry. He ran for the last election, he contested for House of Reps. He did not win. I said, that's his ministry. I introduced different people. And because it was the first meeting, there were about four different preachers who came, each one with a ministry. One of them, what they say, I go around, I go to schools, organize programs for young people, you know, secondary school children, I teach them this, I teach them that, I teach them that. Ministry. I hope you're getting my point. You can do ministry effectively. You don't have to be the pastor of a church. If you are the pastor of a church, what we call pastor of a church is a ministry. You don't see yourself, that church is not your establishment. It is a place where you exercise your ministry. They are not your members, they are members of the body of Christ. You are just the one that God said, teach these people, guide them right with my word. And you have a duty to ensure that everybody there does his ministry. Don't promote it because they are doing yes sir, yes sir, yes sir. You get my point? Don't encourage psycho fancy. It's not good. You can run your own ministry. And let me just quickly say something, you know. There's the business skills. When I say business skills now, you have to learn how to put things in order, all right, when it gets to that stage. Now, let me quickly say something here. Let me say this. Order is not what produces ministry. It is the ministry that is growing that requires order. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I've seen people come before. They have a list. So which one will you help us with? Want to buy drum, microphone, speaker? We have hire a hall. By the time they finish all their list of things that they are trying to do, you wonder who are the people who are doing it. I don't know whether you get what I'm trying to say. He wants to build a structure and then fit people inside. No. It's as people come in that the disorder that arises requires you to put order. You're getting what I'm going to explain here. What I'm going to say, you just go and start. You first identify what is your ministry and then start doing it. I've seen people come to me for this. Is a very good example. Please, they want to launch album. They need money to go and record in the studio. I'm looking at the fellow. You need money to record in studio. In fact, if you're into music here, just listen to me carefully. Let me give you advice. If you have to beg for money to record in the studio, you are not ready. Some people do things they are not ready for. The Bible says when the crop permits, that's when you put in the sickle. Don't put the sickle when the crop has not yet permitted.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If you have to be going to everybody you know to contribute money for recording session, you are not ready. And you say, what shall I do? The Bible says, exercise your gift. Look for where to exercise. What do I mean? You have go to a church. What are you doing at the back? Every time they want to do program, pastor, can I lead the song? Can I give special number? It's your friend's wedding. Go and do DJ for free. You know what I'm trying to say? Sing all the common songs for free. That is, listen, do that until you can rake enough money from small gifts and honoraria to be able to pay for your recording session. Until that time, you are not ready. One of the most powerful voices I ever heard, now I'm not saying you should go that way, but just to illustrate something. They said one of the most powerful voices people ever heard in this life is Whitney Houston. Remember Whitney Houston? That the girl decided to smoke weed, that's why she just, everything just went. You know that's what happened to her. Listen, let me just tell you, it's not in the Bible, but I can tell you from experience. Igbo de kilo. It's not in the Bible, but I can tell you. Whitney Houston, that was what killed the girl. That was what finished her. She went and married an Igbo smoker. And they used to smoke grass at home regularly. No, it's not a joke. I'm not joking. She admitted it. He admitted it. Grass was a normal thing inside the house. And I don't mean amaranthus, I mean cannabis, weed. Anyway, let me make a long story short. The girl has such a powerful voice. The guy who discovered her, who was the one that gave her money last before she died, the guy said he heard her once and he knew this girl would make it. He said, somebody just listen to this. And she was just somewhere singing. Now, when he heard her once, instantly said, follow me. We're going to the studio. If you are the one still bragging, I'm gifted, you are not gifted. Listen.
Yes, sir.
If you are the one that will be arguing, I know how to sing, say, I don't think so. Sing, let me hear. Okay, you did try. Just know, you're going to exercise. You need exercise. You look for every opportunity, that's the point I'm making, to exercise the gift. Sometimes you think you have an anointing. It's because they have not given you opportunity. When they finish, you know the things. You know, some people feel like I can preach from here to Benin. Then pastor give you a microphone. After 15 minutes, all the revelation you packed together for 15 years, it will just disappear. Imagine if they are used money to rent a big hall for you. You are in trouble. What's the point I've made? Look, exercise your gift. All right? Look for every opportunity. Ministry is a sacrifice. You don't have to be the pastor of a church. You don't have to start a church. I was telling you a story earlier, yes, before I now digress and said, don't let money move you up and down. There's one man I heard of. When I was in school, you know, everything has a season. Just don't let money push you, all right? If it's time for your gift to make money, God will let it make money. Just do what you are supposed to do. Money is not what we are looking after or looking out for. We are Christians. We are heavenly minded. We know the word of God. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. We know the word of God, all right? But when I was in school, somebody told me this later, like 20 years after, was when I found out. He said, can I remember this particular song we used to play in school? We used to share it. Very good album. I said, yes. He said, that's the man who sang it. I said, what? This man? I said, what happened to him now? He said, the man confessed by himself that he didn't feel like God called him to be a pastor. It's just that when he saw the lack of honor and respect, you know, a prophet is not without honor, with the lack of honor and respect he was getting because he was a singing minister rather than a pastor, he decided to open the church just so that he would get honor and respect. This is the interesting part. By the time music ministry became, you know, when all this, you know, became the rave, he was not there anymore. Now, we preachers are complaining that they honor singers more than us. Yes, now, let's talk, tell the truth. You go and preach. After you preach for 4 days, they tell you, thank you so much, give an envelope. He can't even pay for your food. Meanwhile, if Frank Edward is coming, he will tell you ahead of time how many hundreds of thousands of millions you are putting down. Things have changed. That is, don't let money push you up and down. Do the one you are supposed to do. The man said, listen, the people told me that too. One brother who I respected, he shocked me when we spoke one day. I was telling him about ministry. What's up? I told him what I was doing. He said, are you not starting the church? I said, no. He said, start a church. I said, why? He said, without it, men won't respect you. I said, I'm not doing it for respect. Why did I start the organization that I call Kingdom of Ministries? In fact, it's a platform by which I express my gift. And it's the joy of my heart to put over 1,100 messages and counting on a weekly basis on my website. One of the most joyful days of my life was when I discovered that I could register the web address, pastor.ng. Something led to it. Okay, I was checking Twitter one day. I just saw food.ng. I said, wait, is there any website like pastor.ng? I quickly went and checked and it was available. Boom! I locked it down. Paid immediately. And right now I told my friends, I'm the official pastor of Nigeria. So is it? Pastor.ng, that's my website. I told my brother, to that young man in Enugu, I said, over, what are you waiting for? He quickly registered truth.ng. So between me and him, we control pastor.ng and truth.ng. Why is it there? So that I can exercise my gift. From all over the world, I have over 1,100 messages, and I add on the average 2 every week. So at the end of this year, I will have added over 100 for 2016 for anybody to download. What is my joy? That is my exercise of my gift. So when somebody says, do it so that you can get respect, I said, I am not doing it for respect. Listen, being a minister means you exercise your gift. It doesn't mean you have respect. You see, Paul said, what is the proof of my ministry? They are always beating me. What is the proof of my ministry? Despite all the beating, I don't get angry. The beating is not the issue. It's at the end of the day, do I get angry? No. What is the proof of my ministry? There are times I've been without food, but we did not stop preaching. I was listening to David Paulson yesterday, and he said something which struck me. He was trying to, my wife was the one listening, but I walked in. And I heard a part of it which I had not thought about before. He was trying to prove that Jesus rose from the dead. All right? He said, if Jesus did not rise from the dead, why would somebody risk his life to say it? That these disciples, they were killing them regularly and they did not change their mind. It's because, you know, they tried to make it like it was like they stole the body. That's what they did that time. He said, who will risk his life for a stolen body? He said, no, it must be that he really rose from the dead. He was trying to give the evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. What am I trying to say? Paul said, the proof that I'm a minister is that even though I'm hungry, you still see me next time. Your car is not a sign you are called. God does not always give cars. I like what Chris Devon said when he came to Benin then, when he was talking. He said, God doesn't give people cars. He gives them transportation. That if you are going from one place to the other, you will have the car. If you are not going anywhere, he won't give it to you. I hope you are getting my point. I'm not emphasizing what is proof of ministry. How do you run ministry effectively? First, understand what success is. From what Paul said, you see, you cannot say you have succeeded at all until you're about to die. All your life, you are striving for success. And what is that success? To finish your course while keeping the faith. It's not to finish your course while breaking down the rules of God. No. You finish your course while you are keeping the faith. Success is not what people call, say it is. I've explained the difference between church and ministry in emphasizing that you can run a ministry whether it's registered or not. And it doesn't have to be a church. Don't do things for what you are going to get. Never look at these things as a sign of money. I'll tell you later how to get money, both in life and as a preacher. And you'll see there are very easy ways. I'll tell you all the legitimate and lawful ways. And I'll show you the ones that are not expedient. Because many things are lawful, but they are not expedient. All right, we'll look at them. Now, everything I've said so far is actually my point number one. And I actually have 6 points. But the rest, don't worry. The rest are two minutes. I've made a lot of good points. Another thing I should tell preachers, this is very crucial, very important. The next 2 points I'm going to make. I've made 1 point. My first point is, what is success? Everything I've talked about is, what is success? So that we know what to pursue. What's the next point I want to make in pursuing success? The word is one word, learn. What did I say?
Learn.
The word disciple means student. The minister is first a disciple. The Bible says that Jesus picked people. He said, first, so that they might be with him, and then two, so that he might send them out. The first of all must be with him if he is going to send them out. If they are not with him, he cannot send them out. I'm not going to bring out an issue here. The first thing about being a minister is that you must be a disciple. Because of time, I don't have all the time now here, please. I will not be able to go into all these things in details. But when Jesus picked 12 disciples, the Bible said it was first of all so that he might be with him. That's what it means to be a disciple. 12 apostles. Before you can be sent by God, you must first be with him. You must be a constant student. So the minister is first of all a disciple. All right? Now, what I want to emphasize is, how do we learn? Some practical aspects about learning. Now, there's nothing for me that's as annoying as an ignorant preacher. It's very annoying. You don't even know the Bible. Don't preach until you have read that thing properly. Then beyond that, be aware. You see, you know why animals don't improve? I was reading a book yesterday, and the lady wrote, she said that animals don't improve. A goat of last generation is still, this generation is the same thing, no difference. The next generation of goats is the same thing. But you know why human beings are not like that? I'll tell you. Because God, you know why goats are like that first? They don't pass any experience to the next generation. They only live by instinct. Human beings are not like that because we can teach the next generation. And what God actually ordained is that a previous generation should teach the next generation. He wrote to the women, he said, older women teach the younger ones how to love their husbands. Which means that if you are in a church, if you are in a community, assembly of believers, I've been married for 17 years now, all right? 16 and a half years. The problem, there are issues I had the first year, second year, third year, and all of that, okay? There are things I look at. In fact, the other day I remember some things that my wife did, and I felt like going to her to quarrel again. And she did it like 15 years ago. I just come and say, sweetheart, why did you say that? Say, what did I say? 15 years ago you said this. Why should you do like that? I just started getting angry again. But the truth is that she did not know better then. She has learned. Me too. I still remember one thing I did. You know, I just say, hey, how did you do that? And your wife is still here. God really blessed you. You know, you're just thinking. Now, you know what God is saying? If I have young people around me who are marrying now, they should not have that experience. I should be able to tell them, guys, don't do like that. My wife should be able to tell the ladies, don't do that. It's not necessary. You teach the next generation. That's one of the things that makes us human beings. That is why we can be using smartphones today. Why? Because Thomas Edison taught the next generation. So they don't have to discover what he discovered. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
They just learn from him, then they discover above that. That's why I learned something as a preacher. Some of us, we teach, now, this is not bragging, we were just talking the truth. There are things we teach, okay, I'm listening to Ken Higgins sometimes. He will say some things, I just shake my head and say, no, it's not like that, sir. You didn't read this part of it. I feel like explaining to him, say, sir, if you go deeper, you will see this. Yeah. And not a big deal, but I still listen to him every day. Do you know why? Whatever I think I understand deeper now, without his foundation, I will never have reached there. I will have had to learn what he learned, then God will wait for another generation to learn what I'm learning. There are visions God will not give you. Why? He gave to Ken Hagin. He said, go and buy the book. He won't bother. He said, why should I? He said, what I say to one, I say to all. What's your problem? Did I not say to you, blessed are those who believe without seeing? If you need God to appear to you the way he appeared to Ken Hagin, you are an unbeliever. Go and check. Thomas said, no, me too, I must see. He said, this is the problem I have with you, Thomas. He said, blessed are those who will believe, even they don't see me. Jesus will not, he doesn't owe anybody anything to appear to you again. He said, when I was appearing to Peter, I did not write it for you. Please, I'm going somewhere. You are hurting yourself and killing yourself if you don't read the lessons from the previous generations. When you should be making smartphones, you'll still be making box phones. Because you did not listen to Thomas Edison. You did not listen to Graham Bell. These are men who invented long ago. In the same manner, if you don't read Ken Hagin, one day you will almost die also. Because Ken Hagin, I know what kills preachers. I already know it. Not because I almost died, because the ones that almost died, they told me, and the ones that died, it was told about them. Yes. Take a man like, what is his name? Robert Sladen. Robert Sladen said the Lord appeared to him and said to him, go and study the lives of my ministers. Why they succeeded, why they failed. And the man began to gather and he wrote a book called God's Generals. Especially that first volume. I think it is surprising till today when I see preachers who haven't read it. What it means that you will make exactly the same mistakes that men made 50 years ago. Do you know why God said Solomon should write the book of Ecclesiastes? He said, so that we will all not make our lives an experiment. Do you know one major reason I believe in monogamy? Apart from the fact that Jesus taught it, is Solomon. Solomon married. My father. He married. 700 wives is not easy. But just to shock it, he added 300 concubines. At the end of the day, he said, there is nothing better than to rejoice with the wife of thy youth. That was his statement. I don't want to experiment it. It's not necessary. God gave Solomon to me as an experiment. And he said, write your scientific findings. Publish it in the scientific publications. I will be a fool not to read the publications and believe them. You know what Solomon did, in case you don't know? Let me tell you what Solomon did. He bought, assuming he's living today, he had people talking about cocaine. He sent his men, go and buy. They kept in the palace. He used it for 1 month and said, it's vanity. Go and read the Bible. He said, I sought how to stimulate my body with wine. The man went into chemical intoxication. If it's today, they said they smoke wee. What did they sell him for? Go buy, come for me. Solomon locked up, made them not see me. The guy used wee for like a week. At the end of the day, you know what he said? It's vanity. When he finished, he bought cars, flew private jets, did everything, built houses. He said, guys, I have finished. You know the summary? Vanity upon vanity. All is what? Vanity. He said, there is just one thing to do. One commandment. Fear the Lord. Obey his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. You know what I'm going to say? Don't make your life an experiment. If a married man is chasing another woman, I know the end of it already. It's written in the Bible. He said it's like wormwood. Are you getting my point? It's bitter. That will fill his mouth with gravel. I don't care how much you claim to love her, you will die for it. It's in the Bible. Kenneth Hagin taught, go and read the book, I Believe in Visions, Ministry Gifts. Kenneth Hagin will tell you that one day he was standing and he heard a man say, I'm going to resign from the church where I am right now and I'm going to start another church. This one, I will build it around me. He said, I made a mental note of it. And he said, you can't build a church around you. You build a church around Christ. Kenneth Hagin said that God said to him, you are a prophet and a teacher, but you turned it around and became a teacher and rarely a prophet. If you had continued like that, you would have died before the age of 57. So I know one of the things that killed preachers is when they don't do what God called them to do, they are doing something else. I don't have to die to learn it. He mentioned another minister, powerful, heavy. From Kenneth Hagin and Robert Sladen, you join the stories. We know who it is. At the age of 50, 36 or 39, the man was dead. Why? Simply because the Lord said he loves money too much. He loves food too much. And he hates his brethren. Three sins. Killed him at the age of 39 or 36. Demo Shakarian, read his book, The Happiest People on Earth. He said there was this preacher, he had never seen anointing like that before. Opening of blind eyes. The lame will be walking. He said the man himself was blind in one eye and had only one leg. But anointing. He said he was wondering. Strange human being had long hair. He said, do you know what was wrong with this guy? He said there's only one thing he noticed. This guy had an eye for the money. As that do me to be asking demons, how much offering did I collect today? That offering basket is full. He said, I told the man, don't worry. I organized the meeting. It was in the Ministry of Helps. I organized the meetings. You will be well taken care of. The last day, we take offering for the minister who has blessed us for 3 weeks. You stay in my house. My wife cooks for you. We handle all the bills. When you are going, we give you enough money to take you for some time. Take care of you for some time. Don't worry. So the man said, okay, no problem. He said, man, you guys have something going here and I don't know what's going to happen, man. See money. He said, I was wondering what's wrong with this guy. The last day, he said to his surprise, this guy spent 2 hours raising offering. He said he only stopped when he was sure everybody was broke. This boy was in his 30s, young minister, powerfully anointed. 3 weeks, people were getting saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, getting healed. He said, the last day, the man gathered. He said, by the time they finished gathering, all of them were embarrassed. What's going on here? So they came to Demo Shakarian, who organized the meetings. I said, what are you going to do? Demo said, what can I do? He said, he was praying. He said, I can't go out there and tell the people this man is a fraud. He said, for 3 weeks he has blessed them with the true word of God. He said, I will let God take care of his own. I won't say a word. So as the man has finished raising the money, the people went there, collected all the money to the back. The man quickly shared the grace and ran down. He said, that money is my own. He gathered the money into his bosom, packed it into 2 bags, and told Demo Shakarian to his face. He said, you are a fool, this man. You have something good going out there. You don't know how to take advantage of it. Demo said, he looked at him. His brother-in-law was so angry, he grabbed the man by the hand to take the bag from him. He said, he reached out and told the guy, leave him! You cannot touch the Lord's anointed and be guiltless. He said, he told him, leave him. Let God take care of him. He's not our servant. He's the servant of God. Let him go. So that money is not blessed. Let him go with it. I learned something there. No matter what the preacher does, don't touch him. I learned that one. He said, a few years later, he was in his office. The man walked in. He saw the man looking disheveled, looking scattered, looking hungry. This was like 5 years after or 3 years after. He came to beg him for money. Told him about how things have been rough. Demo Shakarian was a rich man in 2 areas. One, he was rich in his heart. 2, God gave him money financially, physically. He was a millionaire. He had money. So he opened his drawer, counted some money and gave to that man. Said, you can go. He said 3 years later, the man was dead. 40-something. Heavily anointed. He was dead. Why? He loved money. When I see people who run up and down, say they are apostles of money raising, I laugh at them. I say, you don't read. If you read enough, you will know you are towing the path of death. Premature death. Like I always tell people, for the love of my wife and children alone, I will leave some things alone. Like my brother Okemuti, we say in Wari, in Enugu. You see, Oga, I used to pastor in one of these big churches. You see, Oga, ministry, money day. Now just say you don't die, but if not before they die, money day. He said, the problem is, one day you will just die. Once he told me a story, interesting story. There's one preacher somewhere, one of the Nigerian cities. The man used to do something, a program. People would be giving money to collect, miracles, offerings, and breakthroughs. So the guy's friend looked and said, what this man is doing is wickedness. He's giving people false hope. And they all looked and said, what he's doing is not right. Then one day the man parked his car, put his hand on the steering and died. Many of the things I say, if you listen to my messages, I will quote this person said this, this person said this, this person said this, this person said this. I tell people, I'd never come to preach alone. When I stand, the number of preachers behind me, when I'm talking, the anointing of John G. Lake is talking. When I'm talking, Ken Hagin is talking. When I'm talking, David Oyedepo is talking. When I'm talking, David Paulson is talking. When I'm talking, do you know the number of preachers that are speaking when I'm speaking? I have taken the best of everybody by reading their books. It shocks me when you see preachers that just read church history alone. Preachers who came before, you know where they went wrong. Robert Sladen said God specifically told him, write it for my people to read. Otherwise, they will make the same mistakes again. Ah. Please. Even if you don't listen to me, listen to Robert Sladen say the Lord told him, write this book for your sake. Buy God's generous and read. Read, I believe in visions. Ken Higgins said the Lord appeared to him, say, I broke, the long story, but he broke his arm, fell, dislocated the hand badly, was in hospital. God said, so I can talk to you. He said, if I didn't talk to you, you will have died before you are 57. William Marion Braham, many of us know him. Kenneth Hagin said, as at 59, the Lord told him, by the end of 65, I will kill him. Is that why? He's leading the body of Christ astray with his teachings. This man was a credible prophet. Some people think that when somebody is a man of God, it doesn't make mistakes. This was a credible prophet that when he stands like this, sometimes he said the man is preaching, he will wait and say, he was supposed to start preaching, he just wait and say, I can't start. And I say, why? He said, the angel the Lord says should stand by me has not yet come. That's how powerful he was. Kenegin will testify that when things were difficult for them, other ministers, cases they can't handle, they sent to William Marion Braham. I heard this particular story. Somebody narrated the story for me. He said that there was a day, they used to fill cards to speak to before the preacher prays for you. So some people thought the man used to cheat, check what, which a lot of people do these days, and they do these days now. By the time you come to church, they say, okay, oh, there's somebody here. Your car is CS144MUS. Yes, it's black. It's downstairs. The Lord said, give it to me. Somebody's out there sending him WhatsApp messages. Don't know his phone is on. Oh, you are impressed. People don't know why you is in ministry now. Why you? You don't know his phone is on. You think it's word of knowledge. It's not word of anything. It's WhatsApp. Somebody's out there checking for him, who and who is downstairs. They did to one of our sisters in Enugu. Whose car is this one? She called her. She said, this man. The Lord called the number of her car. He says, my car. He said, go forward. He went there. Oh, the Lord said, you should put it on the altar. The woman looked at the man of God. He said, sir, it's not my car, it's my husband's own. The man turned into threat. He says, for the life of your husband. He said, I said it's not my own, it belongs to him. It's okay, how much we use to redeem the car? He turned to negotiation. We'll leave that side. This man, they wanted, they were trying him. So some boys went and pretended and wrote fake things so that he think he would spy and say what is not true. When I heard the story, chill entered my body. He said when he got to his town, somebody told the story, so I don't know how accurate it is, but it's the kind of operation the man used to operate. So when he got to their town, he was praying for people. As soon as he put his hand on one of them, he said, what do I see? I see two young men in front of me who have purposed in their hearts to deceive the man of God. And they have written on their cards that these are the problems they have, so as to test the man of God. He said, let it come upon them as they have written. Don't try William Aaron Rehan. That's why his followers are diehard till today. Oh, yes. Because that man was powerful. Yet, by the end of 59, the Lord told another prophet, said, that leading prophet, I have to disqualify him. I'm removing him. Why? He said, his teachings are leading the body of Christ astray. Before that time, Gordon Lindsay and co had begged him, stop teaching, you don't have the anointing. I know one man of God in Nigeria today, I won't mention his name. The guy used to hear, he said, this guy is teaching, he's not called to teach. But a young boy didn't say anything. So I wonder, just one of my friends. My friend said, his friends said when we were in school, that this boy should leave this teaching thing alone. Everybody's following him now, just be watching. And the result is clear. You talk to his members, they are immoral, unreliable people. Somebody wrote me that these people are not serious believers. I said, I know the anointing they are following. These are true believers who they've left their calling. Ken Hagin explained why God said, I will remove that man. December 65. In fact, the prophecy was like, come 66, he will be no more. December 65. The man was driving. A drunk driver slammed into his car. Killed him and killed his wife on the spot. He laid hands on his wife. The woman came back to life. He couldn't lay the hands on. He told his son, take my hand and put it. When he died, I have a book. It's on my computer. The man was one of his followers. They observed the body for days. They didn't believe he was dead. How can this prophet go? I have that book. I can give it to you. By one of his followers. So that tells you anointing does not preserve your life. It's no guarantee. You die does not mean you are not anointed. Just mean God is tired and he removed you. I know what I'm saying. Look, anointing doesn't preserve your life at all. How did I learn this? I don't have to die first. That's what I'm talking. That's my emphasis. So. Before I do anything, I pray. I say, God, you sure say you like him. If you don't like it, let's know. Because just to keep person for nothing is not necessary. Just let the person know. Let's know. Someone says, how will I know? Let me tell you this. I don't have all the time, okay? I'm just trying to be fast. Purify your motive for everything. You will always do the right thing.
Yes, sir.
Don't do it because of money. Don't do it because of fame. Don't do it because of competition. If you purify your motives, you will find yourself in the center of what is right. Like the men who I said started churches, it was because they said, I'm not being respected, when they were not supposed to be pastors. If you say ministry, shame is part of ministry. Jeremiah walked naked. You leave an oil company job to become a preacher, does not mean God will bless you extra, financially.
You think,
you just say, okay, that, because money is a tool. God says, okay, you're no longer the mechanic to use that tool. I've given to somebody else. Are you getting my point? Just because I was a surgeon and I now left and now become a pilot, does it mean I'll not carry all my instruments, all my blade, knife, forceps to the plane? No, God says, okay, the days of surgery is over. Now, being a pilot, I must be clear, look at the instruments, use your hand. Abi, that's how money is. So, you were a big oil company worker, a big businessman, God called you to ministry. It doesn't mean he'll bless you extra. You can't come and harass anybody. Say, when I was in the world, I know how much I was making. That's your problem. Money is a tool. You are no longer in the factory using it. You have moved over to where something else is our tool. I have given that unction to somebody else. I'm not going to give you extra money. If you purify your motives for everything, please let me not leave the main thing I'm going to say. What I'm going to say is that, why do I know all of these things? Read. One day my wife looked at me and said, because my wife is trained as an accountant in school. She has an MBA. She did ICANN too. In fact, she almost finished ICANN. Just like when she got married, she discontinued. So one day we're talking money. And I mentioned something. I talked about this kind of money, fiat money, gold standard money. I was talking about different kinds of money. She said, my husband, I went to school to learn this thing. Where did you learn it from? And that day I happened to remember where I learned it from. I learned it from reading Encyclopedia Britannica's chapter on money. What am I trying to say? Information is out there. Once I met preachers, full-time preachers. I was a resident doctor in Lewis. I used to do my holiday in a church in Ado-Ekiti. So I went to go and do holiday there. You know, I worked there for a month. These people came to town to go and do a program from another ministry somewhere else. And so my pastor said, okay, go around with them to help them around, drive them around, give me his car. So we're moving around, and I'll be talking, and these ministers will be looking at me. And I will tell a story. Okay, like I told you about William Branham now. I tell such stories. I talk about Catherine Kuhlman and all of that. And they are looking at me like, my God. And in my mind, are these people normal? You are full-time preachers. You don't do any other thing but this one. I have to read pathology, chemical pathology, hematology, microbiology, and I still know this. What is wrong with your head? I was a resident doctor that time in Lutz. I was telling Yinka yesterday. I said, Pastor Max is the only pastor I have met, and I'm not joking about it, that knows more ministers than me. Most of these preachers, I'm sorry to say, empty heads. And that will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Amen. The books are out there. You have an expensive phone, you don't have an expensive book. At least my own phone is a two. Maybe your own is like that too. You have expensive shoe, you should have expensive book. What are you sitting down doing on Instagram and Facebook when you have not yet gone to Sermon Index? I mean, when I found out David Pawson's materials were available for free, I downloaded the life out of it. One of my men came one day. I said, sir, I have downloaded everything. I said, this boy, you've overtaken me. Okay, bring your own. Let's share it. Come to the men I have in Kingdom World. I'm so happy. The last time I went to Benin, they heard Chris Guamna. They've shipped all the materials. When you get to the office, and in Kingdom World, some pastors are afraid. They're angry. Your members are listening to other people, which was my own. When I enter the office now, my voice is not heard anymore. I know my people. For now, it's Chris Delvan. They say anything there, they will listen. So they will finish the man first before they return to Pastor Banky. Then if I come, and usually I'm the one that bring it to. If I come one day, mention another person, they say, now don't download them. No. The pastor, do you have it there? I say, yes. Can we have it? Then people start sharing. And listen, all these people I'm talking about, only one of them is a preacher. Only Okimute is a preacher. Israel, if you tell Israel to take announcement, he will refuse. He runs Kingdom World for me inside out, in and out, up and down. Handles everything. But if you tell him to take announcement, he no go agree. This microphone is as if, no, sir. But without him, the mic won't work. If you watch me on TV, he's the one that put that thing on TV. Yet, just mention one preacher. Let him hear small. He likes it. The next few weeks, that's the only job he's doing. Feeding his soul. Then, that's why, sometimes a preacher is talking. He talks, he says, oh, Joshua, he says, oh, God, you're on your own. A preacher is the one talking. Joshua, he says, you're on your own in that one. Why? It's not because of pride. It's more of, I've heard this, I've balanced everything. This one is more in line with the scripture. The one you are talking, I don't know where you got it from. there was one happened the other day. Somebody was saying something. This man, forget that. Why? What do you want to say? He has listened to everybody else. Now, I'm talking about if you're a minister of the gospel. Please do what? Learn. Learn. Please, I'm begging you. Learn. Some say, I don't like reading. Go and learn how to read. God gave us all these smart devices to use them to feed our souls, not to gossip. Some people don't believe in smart devices. I do. Listen, what have I said? Let me summarize it. See my time, my father. What have I said so far? Learn. What did I say?
Learn.
Please talk to your neighbor. Say please. Learn.
Learn.
Tell the person read.
Read.
Listen.
Listen.
Tell the fellow read.
Read.
Listen.
Listen.
Spend money.
Spend money.
Spend time.
Spend time.
Yes. You cannot be an effective minister unless you are learning all the time. Next point. Like I said, the other points are short. I have three more, but let me rush through them. Next thing I want to quickly say, there's a book that Pastor Max put inside our packages, all of us. It's titled Beyond Gifts and Talents. That's my third point, so I will not preach it. Just read it there. Anointing is not what makes a man a woman. It's character. If you have anointing, you don't have character, Delilah will kill you. You hear what I said? If you have anointing, you don't have your spiritual integrity and character together, Delilah will finish you. You now say, thank God I'm a woman. Delilah is not a woman. Delilah is a spirit. Takes any form to destroy a preacher anytime. That's all I can say. Please, walk according to your what? Integrity. Please, it is beyond gifts and talents. It is according to your character. Character, you must apply diligence in everything that you do. Work on your character. Don't have an entitlement mentality. Because I'm anointed, money will come. The way people who are not preachers pray for money, you too pray. I'll get to money later. Like I said, because I'm of time, I won't say more about that. Just read that book, Beyond Gifts and Talents. Please, that's my message for that portion, Beyond Gifts and Talents. Just go and read it there. The other thing I want to say, as a preacher, bear this in mind. Learn patience. Paul, if you read that in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, it said, be followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Pastor Max and I were talking yesterday. He said, how come people don't follow these men? Who I said, because you omitted one word. They don't just follow faith. They have to follow what? Patience. I said, that patience is the one that had to follow. The first time I heard of Kenneth Hagin, he had been preaching for 40 years. When he opened Bible school, he had been preaching for over 30 years. Are you getting my point? Things take time. Decide what you believe the Lord wants you to do or how to exercise your gift, and don't say, I'm just doing this meanwhile. Do what you can do forever. So if God doesn't open the door, you're enjoying yourself anyway. I tell people what I do in Enugu right now. I preach. I had an office. Twice a week I'm there teach on Saturdays and on Tuesdays. I've done it now. Some people will be surprised. Pastor Max, I've been in that building for 13 years. I rented that office in 2003. So I was there, but that time you had a big church. I didn't want to have a church at all. There was a time I actually technically prayed that, God, you know we don't have space, so don't bring more people than can enter here. And I'm not looking for, because you know my primary reason was that I've changed a bit now because we have to accommodate. In fact, we just expanded our space now. We just rented some more extra space up there, none of that. And of course, our space kept on increasing. Initially, the one we had, we partitioned it. We broke down the partition. It kept on reducing the office space. Now we've had the whole place. Now we are throwing it open so as to move into another office. All right? But what I was doing was that in all these 13 years, I don't have more than 3 messages that I preached there and you can access today. In 13 years of preaching almost twice a week. The first few years was once a week, then it became twice a week. And then if you add more radio and all of that, I have more than 2 messages a week. As of today, after 13 years, my brothers, my sisters, I don't have more than 3 messages that are missing that you can't find. I'm producing over 100 a week. As of now, if you point to a message now, I will pull my computer out and find it for you. Unless I didn't preach it in my office. The ones I'm telling you know why I counted 3? I remember 2 that are missing. The third one, let's assume there's a third one I can't remember. One, I was recording, we were recording, Pastor Kola Iwosu came to town, and I like to listen to preachers. So I was hurrying to finish so I could get to where he was preaching. So as I finished preaching, I said, okay, we used to record on my laptop. So I told them to save the message on the laptop. As they were about to click save, the computer crashed. That's one of them. And on that day, I told Israel, back up. We normally back up because of experience. We record in two places at a time. So for a long time, there has been no problem. So we were recording in one place. And then that day, something happened. The recording device went off halfway through the message. Then maybe there's another one. I'm going to say that in 13 years, I don't have more than three messages that I preach in that office that I can't give you today on my computer. That is why I have over 1,100 messages fully downloadable on our website. I'm not in a hurry. I was willing to do it forever. Do you get my point? Things take time. You can't start the church today and you want it to be 500 members tomorrow because you heard the story of one man started one in Korea and in 3 years it was 100,000 members. Go to Korea, buy his skin, wear his skin, get the same members. If you are not going to do that, whatever you find here, manage it. Things take time. Decide what you are doing is right and make sure you are ready to do it for a long time. There is no hurry. Please, I hope you are getting my point.
Yes, sir.
Last of all, my last point, how to run ministry successfully. Remember to also walk by faith. I've seen a lot of preachers, somebody told me once, he said, in our church, our pastors are always saying we should give, give, give. Meanwhile, they are receiving, receiving, receiving. I laughed, and there was a deacon in the church. What was he trying to say? Listen, the same faith Christians walk by, preachers are also supposed to walk by it. Are you getting my point? You also have to trust God. Don't use gimmicks. Let me just quickly add this one to it. Do what is right. Don't use gimmicks to try and get any result. One man told me the other day, I said, I'm so happy for you, you failed in it. He said, I'm trying to write a book. I said, why? No, he was telling us the reason. That the reason was that he wanted to write the book so he can buy a car. I said, I'm happy God solved that one for you before you enter into the trouble. Otherwise, you will have finished writing the book and nobody will buy it. Why? Because inside the book is, I need to buy a car. That's what's behind the pages. On the surface, you're writing things, so. But the spiritual thing behind is, I need to buy a car. And nobody buys a book from a man who's trying to buy a car. These are spiritual transactions. The other thing I need to say, I will talk about them. But let me quickly just get into it, please, because look at my time. I'm the one that really needs to get out of here. Let me hurry. I've taken a break. Amen. My break is 5 seconds. Let me use it to drink my water. Now, I'm going to the second thing, financing the ministry. Wait, I was supposed to take questions and finish by 12. Okay, I'll rush whatever everything that's remaining. Let's talk about financing the ministry quickly. You know, when I was thinking about it, I just realized that it's not just the ministry, it's financing your life actually as a minister. Is that not true?
Yes.
It's not just the ministry. Ah. Man must work. If not a woman too, you must chop. So it's not just about financing the ministry, it's about financing your life, which is also very important. I want to, because of time, there are just two things I'm going to explain. First, I'll talk about the doctrine that I learned. And then I will talk about my experience. And I'll give a few warnings. Then I'll be out of here. This is the doctrine that I learned. First, God, Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
He said, when I sent you out, did you lack anything? He's the one that sends, he's the one that provides. These are real things. These are no imaginations. These are the doctrines underlying what I know about ministry and finances. One, he's the Lord of the harvest. He said, the Lord has sent me as I was prophesying concerning Jesus Christ and his spirit. What does that tell me? That tells me that anytime God sends me, he sends whatever I need. Do you understand? These are the fundamental doctrines. Jesus spent money. He spent money. That's why Judas had something to steal. If he didn't have money, he wouldn't have a purse. Judas would have had nothing to steal. Let's bear that in mind. Then, I'm talking about my doctrines, things I understand. Paul also had money. Philippians chapter 4, we'll read that from it. Where does the money come from? The way God does it is this. There are exceptions to every rule, but the rule is that generally in Christianity, people of God give to the work of ministry. That's the general rule. There may be exceptions, but that's the general rule. Another rule we should bear in mind, which is the law of God, is that he that threshes the corn must not be muzzled. The one that labors at the altar feeds from the altar. That God actually expects that people who preach the word of God should be expects that those preachers, they have a right to live in quote of the ministry. Let's get that in mind. Bear that in mind. But how do we get the money into ministry? This was what I did. There's another doctrine I should bear in mind. I also understood something. Okay, like I said earlier, that God also sends laborers, financial laborers, because we all have gifts. Are you getting my point? These are the principles. So before I started out in ministry, I employed these principles, and I said, concerning financing the ministry, I will talk about that. I prayed to the Lord that he will send financial laborers into the harvest field. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest. We all have gifts that differ. He said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send laborers into the harvest field. So there are different kinds of laborers. There are those who labor in money things. Like I was saying earlier, when it came to sponsoring the work of ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, all right, there were people who did that. People like Chuza, Johanna, the wife of Chuza. The number of people who gathered together and regularly sponsored the work of ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get that in mind. So I understood all of this. So I believed and I still practice that I should ask the Lord to send financial laborers into the harvest field. These are the fundamental doctrines. So I prayed. And I said something to the Lord. This was what I said. Now, because I still hold what we call a secular job, I work in the teaching hospital and the university. When ministry started, of course, it made sense. When we first hired that place, my wife and I, we paid for everything. For the first time I went on radio, it was the offering I gave to the ministry. This was how it began. Initially, 100% offering to the ministry came from us. After a while, it dropped to 90%. Do you understand? Until now, about 15 years later, in which it has dropped to, I don't know the percentage, but one thing that's sure is zero kingdom will we survive. What I mean, as of today, if I don't bother to give a dime to Kingdom World Ministries, Kingdom World does not need any money from my pocket. Why? Simply because the Lord sent financial laborers into the harvest field. As of today, we broadcast on a number of radio stations, I think about six now, and they were on international TV, which the price just doubled, not because of any other thing than dollar fell, and the naira fell against the dollar, and we earn in naira, we spend in dollars, all right? Yet, we pay our bills. Okay? We pay our rent, we don't own the building where we are, we have staff, and we pay all our bills. How does the money come? One, I don't beg for money, it's against my law. I'd rather shut the thing down than beg anybody. All my life is only once I've ever asked anybody to give to Kingdom World. Only one time. And to prove that it was wrong, the person said to my face, no. And the only reason I did it is that the fellow is my good friend. And every time if I have a new book, you quickly buy it. Messages you collect. I said, you are being blessed by this ministry. I didn't ask for money, I just said, you should give to us. I was telling a friend something that I think is right. And if you're going to read Paul in Philippians chapter 4, He said that it's not the money. I'm telling you to do what is right. I know it will bless you. It's a pity I have to be brief about this. So I told, that was the only time. And the man told me that I'm not in the mood for sowing. He is such a friend, he could tell me that. And I said, no problem. I never asked him again in my life. Kingdom World Ministries. Yet, I've had people give us all kinds of monies. The largest singular offering we have received was 3 million naira on a single day from one person. I've had people, in fact, one day I called one of our brothers. I know him from time. I said, oh boy, I don't know, say, phone, computer, the vibrator. You know, your phone can vibrate when you get a light. I said, well, my computer vibrates just now, and now you call some. Why? He sent us a huge amount of money. And somebody I know, I knew him from when he was a student, we used to come to their campus to do programs. But now God has blessed him. Phew, sent us money. One day he was watching us on TV. He called me, said, Oga, ah, said that your chair is not fine at all. I beg, how much are new chairs? So I told my guy, go and check. So we called him back, I said, it's just 100K. Phew, quickly transferred 100K. The other day I was joking, I said, we need to change some of our chairs. I said, I will get the new cost and call him. I said, oh boy, those chairs are old now. I don't put pressure on anybody for money. It's against my rules. Not even on radio. People say, this is blessing you, send somebody. Did they send money? Did we discuss before you came on my radio? My radio was sitting down, JJ. You put your program on it. You are now putting pressure on me to come and pay. That's my principle. I don't ask anybody for money. And believe me, God has amply supplied our needs till now. What are you supposed to do? Because of time, let me brief. One, first of all, we are doing a spiritual business here. Pray the Lord of the harvest. We will need money. Lord, send it. Send people. These days, any day we don't get a lot. I wonder, was it a public holiday? I'm not joking. If our ministry, if I don't get, because which is email, we check, no phone alert, just there's no phone number registered, just email. If I check our emails, if I don't see alerts from the bank, I say, is it a public holiday? Honestly. Otherwise, almost every single day, it ranges from 500 naira to, that's the regular ones, from 500 to 500K. Occasionally, somebody tosses in 1 million naira. They do that. Most of the people that I give, 90%, I don't know. We never met. I believe it's a fulfillment of the scripture, which we obeyed. He said, ask the Lord. If he said ask, it means God wants to answer. Pray the Lord of the harvest. That's what we did long ago. Now, that's the principle. In the early stages, like I said, God tests people. The first time I went on radio, there's a university I teach part-time. Then they harass me, come. I said, I don't have the time. Let's make a long story short. Because of respect for elder, I took the appointment. For almost a whole year, they didn't pay me. Then when they paid, the money wasn't so much. It was about maybe 200,000 or so. Because it's part-time, just come once in a while, I give lectures. So my wife said, money is coming. So yeah, this is my plan. I will change my cutting. You know those kind of female plans for money. So that day she was in the kitchen. I just said, sweetheart. She said, what? I said, that money that's coming, I have a feeling the Lord has need of it. And she said, okay. And the pastor who preached a message that propelled me to go on radio, I sent him a quarter of the money to say thank you for preaching a good word. Out of 200, the other 150, I took and gave to the radio station. And then the other balance 50, I cut more, sent to my father, my earthly father. Then the one that was remaining, my wife and I bought chocolate and ice cream. And the money finished. But the three quarters of it, we gave to the ministry to pay our first installment on radio. Under God, I say to you, I have never had to pay a dime for any media again from my pocket. Never. That was the first time and the last time. The thing took off. First time, one boy sent us 5,000 naira. The producer paid one episode, 15,000. That's how money just started coming. Pam, 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 pam. So that's how today, I don't have to give Kingdom 1 naira. Money comes. We pay our bills. That's the summary. I believe there's a spirit in what I have said. I just want to give you a few no-nos, things you must never do. I'm talking about ministry now. One, anything you cannot say openly, this is what we are doing, don't do it. Don't plan a program so as to raise money. It's wickedness. People come there to come and see God. Meanwhile, you are looking at their pocket. It's iniquity. Two, don't beg. Three, most importantly, this one, Holy Ghost fire will destroy you if you do this one. Don't twist the word of God to collect money from people. Don't promise what God did not promise. As I was coming here today, the Lord began to speak to me that 17 people are inside this hall and they are going to give 1 million naira each. And I said, God, what are you going to do for them in return? He said, two of them I will give children. Three, I'm going to buy cars. I will establish business for the other four. You will die. If he did not promise it, don't promise it. You know how I raise money? I don't do for Kingdom World, but for, like, for my alumni fellowship. I only do when there's brethren. You know, like, my alumni fellowship is just us brethren. So I will tell you, if you don't bring money, who will bring? I just say to them, brethren, put money in. But where will the money come from? Do you want me to go and beg Dangote? That's the only thing I do. And I tell them, any reward, I say, it's God that promised it, not me. Go and read your Bible if there's a reward. I don't know. But this one, me, I need the money. Bring it. That's the only thing I do to brethren. I don't make promises God did not promise. And brethren always respond. Christians are good people. Tell them the truth. They will respond. And pray for those who are responding to you that God will bless them some more. God answers prayers. Like I said, say, no, don't twist the word of God. Don't preach, raise money, and collect a cut. I don't have time. People do it. These are things we have to say it so that young people won't do it. A pastor needs money, he brings you to come and raise the money, then gives you a portion of it. You are sharing in wages of harlotry. Don't choose where you will go because of money they will give you. The other day, somebody invited me for a program. Interesting program. Incidentally, on your side. So, person was begging me, please now. I said, let me think about it. I'll give you details after. So, later on, my wife and I were talking. I said, if this person was not rich, will you consider this? I said, no. I called. I said, sorry, I can't come. In fact, what we said is that if this was a pastor somewhere, a pastor's wife somewhere asking you, will you have considered it? My wife and I said, this would not have been a topic of discussion for 10 seconds. So why are we discussing it? I said, the people are rich. I just called. I said, sorry, I can't. That was how I made my decision. I said, normally this is not the kind of invitation I spend this amount of time and energy to go and honor. I said, no, normally it's not. It's not. Yes, I said, the reason why I'm thinking about it is because these are rich people. I said, no, this is wrong. I just said, I'm sorry, I can't make it. And when I heard of the caliber of meeting later, I said, no wonder. They said, I'm not. I heard that somebody fleeing with a private jet to attend. So that is the kind of caliber of things we're talking about. But why didn't I go? I said, the only reason why I'm considering this is because of these people are well to do. I said, I won't go there. I will not choose where I go because of money. There's a preacher I preached for once. Five hot services like this one. By the time I said, oh, man of God, you're such a blessing. He gave me 5,000 naira. My wife said, 1K per service. Why am I talking about it? I said, I like his invitations for one reason. A man that gave you 5 sessions, each one and a half hours on average, to preach. I said, that's good. So if he calls me tomorrow, I always go. Why? By the time I'm done, unction, you know, virtue, ministry. I said, I will go. If you like, give me a million, and I give me 10 minutes to talk. I'm not coming back tomorrow. I tell my junior, that guy gave me 1 million and they gave me 10 minutes to talk. What do I look like? Business consultant. I think I'm going home. Listen, never let money be your motive. That's how you finance ministry. Never let money be your motive. The other point I should make as I close, very important. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, I have learned how to abound and how to abase. Know what that means? Number one thing a preacher needs is not how to get money, it's how to manage it. Number one thing you need is not how to get money, but how to manage it. Too much money removes sense. The more money, the less sense. The less money, the more ingenuity and divine wisdom you employ. When I wanted to start recording on for television, they say you buy red light. When I check the price of each light, 300,000. My Father in heaven. I went to Kenyatta Market. We constructed each light for 6,000 naira. There was one woman that was doing a television studio at the same time. We used to talk. I traveled for 1 week. By the time I was back, she had spent, I think, 3 or 6 million naira to equip the studio. Me, the whole thing I did for my own studio hall, I don't think it was up to 200,000. Today, she has closed down. Me, I'm still on air. Many times, what you need is wisdom, not money. There are many things. I told you, in 13 years, I have not lost more than 3 messages that's not on record. 13 years. I used to use my car battery. That 13 years, go and listen to my message, Man on Assignment, Understanding the New Covenant. Those messages were preached with my car battery as the power for the hall. It was an uncompleted building. We did not have a light. No, it was top floor. That's why we see now. Things are much better, of course. Now we have generators, we have ACs and everything. We left the windows wide open. We start 5, 6, we close so that it won't get dark because there's no light there. How do we record? I carry my car battery because it was 12 volts. We removed it from the car, that was plugged to our tape recorder. And my younger brother, when I'm about to start, you press record. Then I preach. When I want to say something I don't want on record, I say, press pause. He will press pause. I did not spend money. It's now I'm pricing Lister generator so I can figure so that the air conditioners can work. Now. Why won't you price Lister? When you check your bank balance, now in the price Lister, I don't price Lister by faith. Some will make faith hard. You'll be pricing Lister generator by faith. If you want to price generator by faith, price a Sumek Fairman by faith. List that time, faith will produce. Then I prize it. That's how I live my life. Ability to, Paul said there is a mechanism for abasing. You must know the method to manage. You must know the method to manage. You want to invite a pastor from America? Can you buy the flight ticket? You're not in church. They say, you know the flight ticket is your total income for last year. What's wrong with your head? Collect the man's CDs. Put it on video. Yeah. Projector. Yeah, it's true. Say the auction is not complete, but let's manage it for now. Then look in the neighborhood for those who have drank of his auction. Invite them for program. God sees your heart. He will download better unction through them. Then when everybody has grown, I was telling the story of the man who they say, come and preach. He said, I don't have time. They sent a plane to go and bring him. That's the level. Bishop Oyedepo said, life is in phases, men are in sizes. Live your size per time. Contentment, my friend Ibokwe will say, is knowing where you are in life and living like you are there. When I was a single man those days, I wore only white shirts. Do you know why? It wasn't because I was clean. It was because if you have white, nobody knows the number of shirts you have. All of them are white. But now, I wear all kinds of colors. Where to hang clothes is the problem I have. Even if I don't buy, people send. What I'm wearing now, somebody just came one day. I went to my tailor's place. I said, oh, nice material. One design. I just thought about it. I got home the following week. Somebody dropped this bundle of material and gave to my wife. I said, give to pastor. So I gave to the tailor. I said, that thing I saw in your shop, make it. That's what I'm wearing today. A man listened to me in Benin. That's his job. He said, please send me pastor's measurements. So now I can wear any nonsense I like. I can wear pink, yellow, fuchsia, all those female colors. I can wear them now. I'm serious. A whole year can pass and I don't drag in a suit once. What am I dragging it for? Do you know how many are there? When the thing has not come out of the wardrobe in a year, will you drag in it? But season. There was a time that all I had was white shirt. Each weekend, all of them got washed and ironed and starched. And they stood and reflected the glory of God. Listen, before you start looking for how do I get money, number one thing is know how to manage money. Stop buying ash color, light blue suit when you have only one. Buy a black or navy blue. He changes the shirt inside. The same thing with ministry, the same thing with your personal life. How do you get money for your personal life? Number one, pray. Number two, don't be idle. Even if you say, I'm a preacher. If you are preaching once a week, you are idle. Say, I'm praying the rest of the time. The people in business think they are not praying. I hope you are getting my point. If there's not, like now, if you have a skill, Paul, sometimes he made tents. Let me just quickly say something. I don't want to say this before I go. It annoys me. I'm sorry, can I say I'm squeezing my face? When people make it look as if that's the normal way, that preachers should make tents. Making tent is abnormal. Did you hear what I said? There are emergency measures. Don't make it look like good ministers. Peter didn't make tent or fish for anybody. Once Jesus anointed with the Holy Spirit, you didn't see him near a boat. If you see him on the boat, he's a passenger. No, we should get it. And Paul referred to it. Paul said, don't we have a right to be like Peter? Please read my book, So Who Will Pay For This? Please read that book. I explained that thing inside there. However, if you have to make tents, like I told you, there are things that are legitimate. Making tents is legitimate. Begging is not a sin. It's better than stealing. Before you twist the word of God, beg for money. If you are so desperate, I said don't beg. Now I said don't beg. But if it's bad, instead of twist, because begging will never kill you. Twisting the word of God will murder you. So go and say, bros, how far now? This is your money. More will share now. Bring small. Say, let me tell you the truth. Man of God never eat. It's better. No. One day I was in church. They said I should raise money for the church, which is not the wrong thing, just how you do it. I said, church. I said, pray them, please. We need money in this church. I've asked pastor. He said, we need this amount of money on a monthly basis. So all of us, listen to it. Make a pledge of what you will give to this church on a monthly basis. So I said, they now share the pledge paper. At the bottom of the pledge paper, they wrote prayer request. I said, all of you, look at the bottom there. What did they write there? Prayer request. I said, it's a lie. Nobody will pray for you. They are just deceiving you. This paper is about offering. I said, if you need prayer. I said, where's the brother in charge of the prayer team? Stand up. He stood. I said, if you need prayer. That is the praying man. This is money collecting paper. Oh, yeah. Feel it. Oh, no. I said it like that. Prayer request. Who wants to pray for you? Listen, I want to collect your money. I'm not praying for you. When it's prayer time, it's not joined to money. We stand and say, if you need prayer, come forward in the name of Jesus. Receive it. But right now, in the name of Jesus, bring it. Like I said, if you have to beg, go ahead. But don't twist the word of God for any reason. I hope you've gotten my point. I have to stop here because of time. The Lord is good.